What's up? This is Movies on Up. Witchcraft enters the computer age, and a different terror begins. As we enter the best month of the year, and a new joy begins. I am Dave, joined by my co-host, Ryan.
Hey, that's me.
We are Movies on Up. The tagline for this week, and for this month, Witchcraft enters the computer age, and a different terror begins. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com.
Is it Ghost Dad?
Facebook, I wish. Or you could put Ghost Dad. Facebook.com/moviesonup. Twitter @moviesonup. moviesonup@gmail.com. Whatever. Listen to a past episode if I screwed that up. Email us. Let us know what that movie is. And if you win, you'll get a glorious Movies on Up prize package. But that's beside the point. The main point is,
we're just trying to get through all this, like,
happy Halloween.
Yay.
It is officially October.
We try and rush through the beginning of this podcast, much like we try and rush through the first 9 months of the year.
Yes.
Just to get to October.
It is October. You just joined Movies on Up. October's a great time for us. If you've been with us from the beginning, you know we care about October. We change from our weekly schedule to a bi-weekly schedule. We go, I don't know what that means. We go twice a week. We go from one episode a week to twice a week.
Semi-weekly?
Through October. I would think semi-weekly is like
bi-weekly,
every other week.
Bi-weekly, I think, is bi means two. So 2 weeks. Semi is half. So we're half weekly. I don't know.
See, I think bi-weekly can mean two.
Two times a week.
Two times a week. So Ryan and I are bi for this whole month. And
or semi.
Maybe both. And we're kicking it all off with what we started. I think we started last year or the year before.
It's hard to say at this point.
As somebody who doesn't listen to the show, I have no idea. But at the end of each episode, we'd give a handful of movies to watch.
Watch this.
And at the end of the month, they would add up to 31. And then we put a blog post like, oh, hey, here's 31 movies to watch this month. And then we just thought, hey, let's just say it so I don't have to type. So that's this week. We're just going to rattle off 31 horror movies that you should watch this month. It's a great month. Every month is a great month to watch horror movies. But I know a lot of people personally like to watch a movie a night.
It gets you in the spirit.
A horror movie a night. We like to just throw down 31. And since we've gotten to a point where we're lazy, we're not really counting this week. So I think you're going to end up with more than 31, but whatevs. we're going to start off. I'm going to throw out six right off the bat because we are doing movie episodes. Later this week, we'll be doing Nightbreed, Clive Barker's Nightbreed. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. And we're going to have a vampire-themed week where we do What We Do in the Shadows and The Lost Boys.
It's next week, and then the week after,
the
Peter
week
Jackson.
After that, The Frighteners and Dead Alive, two Peter Jackson horror movies. And then the final week to pair up with our Halloween special, we'll be doing Saw. It's a major franchise that's done, what, nine?
Yeah, I think there's like eight or nine.
Eight or nine, and we don't really talk about it ever. I've only ever seen the first one, so that's what we're going to talk about.
So we're really making Dave branch out and watch the first one.
Rewatch the first one, and then Ryan can rank the rest of them from there. So that's Nightbreed, What We Do in the Shadows, Lost Boys, The Frighteners, Dead Alive, and Saw. That's six. If you want to take a 12-hour break, watch those, and then come back and listen to the rest of it.
We'll wait.
You can. We're going to go back and forth. We're each going to throw about two in a timeout. So, Ryan, what would your 7 and 8? I'm only going to count for a couple because then I'll just lose track completely.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
Your 7th and 8th movies to watch for Halloween.
We do have the vampire theme coming up next week, and we do have two vampire movies that do feature vampires pretty heavily. So I thought I would throw out an additional, not to sub the two that we have out because they're great. But if you want maybe some offbeat, it's tough to get more offbeat than What We Do in the Shadows, but some different takes on vampire movies for sure, you can check out Anna Lily Amapour's A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night from 2014. This one's out there.
It's a Saudi movie?
Iranian, I believe. Yeah. She's Iranian, a feminist, and it is an Iranian feminist badassery movie. She's got The Bad Batch, which was at TIFF this year with Jason Momoa, Jim Carrey, and Keanu Reeves, about some cannibal Mexicans or something. I don't really know. Folks didn't really seem to like that one all that much, but they like this one a lot. So this is a better bet for an Iranian feminist vampire movie. It's probably the best.
It's one of the better ones.
Yeah, it's one of the best. You can also check out one that was significantly older, about 50 years older. It's The Last Man on Earth. Vincent Price is great. I'd watch him pretty much do anything. This is his chance to shine as he is the last man on Earth. He's pretty much carrying the movie as part scientist, part reluctant vampire hunter, full-time last man on Earth. You can see the origins of movies like The Omega Man and I Am Legend here.
And The Last Man on Earth TV show starring Will Forte.
Which was based very loosely off this movie, yes.
Which is fantastic. From vampires, I'm going to transition into a couple zombie movies. One came out last year that I saw late, Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. If I'd have seen it earlier, it would have been on my year-end list. I didn't see it until the first of this year. Actually, really, really funny. The marketing was done really, really bad because the marketing dropped the ball on this movie. I think you had a really competent zombie teen comedy. I really liked it a lot. And then one that I didn't like as much, but if you want to watch something stupid, Zombies. It's just zombies with an extra O. It is. Imagine if Jurassic Park took place on an island. Instead of dinosaurs, it was animals.
Yeah.
And all the animals became zombies. So it's just this group of people against zombie animals.
But not zombievers.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with Jurassic Park.
Fair enough.
Zombievers was really, really good.
That's what I heard.
Zombies, I was hoping for that same kind of thing.
Not so much.
Didn't get it.
I'll keep on the zombie theme and kind of refine it a little bit. I had zombie movies featuring a very specific family, the Schwarzenegger family, and one of those movies, in fact, was Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. More fun than I had hoped that it would be. Arnold Schwarzenegger's son shows up. Ty Sheridan proves yet again that he can actually carry a movie. Please see this. Mud, ignore the X-Men movie from the summer. Most people did.
But he's Ready Player One also, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got the lead in Spielberg's Ready Player One from next year, which sounds pretty cool as well.
That book is fantastic. I love the book.
Didn't read the book.
It's
not going to read the book.
It's awesome.
I'll see the movie, though.
I love it. I have friends that hate it, and they're idiots.
From a movie that you like to a movie that you hate, featuring the aforementioned Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's Maggie, also from 2015, so it was a good year for zombie Schwarzenegger movies. Certainly a more dramatic turn in this one from Arnie. He didn't embarrass himself, though. This movie is much more about loss, especially a family dealing with the real and eventual loss of a loved one. And I think Abigail Breslin's really good in this as well. She's on that Scream Queen show, so she's doing some cool horror-ish kind of stuff recently, and I think it's been going swimmingly for her.
Yeah, I didn't hate Maggie, but I didn't like it. Mine are not broken up, and I guess we'll go with monster movies. Hellions? It's directed by the director of Pontypool. Girl just babysitting and attacked by creepy, creepy monsters. It's on Netflix. If you just want to shut your brain off for an hour and a half, and it's pretty terrifying. Like, the monsters are done really, really cool. I like Pontypool because Pontypool is very contained. This is also because they're invading this house. He does have that contained element to it. But there's a lot more going on than with Pontypool. In Pontypool, he's kind of isolated from it all, where she's right in the middle of it. It's actually pretty solid. I really like this movie. But I really like Bruce McDonald as a director. And Chloe Rose is the only thing I've seen her in. But she was really, really good in the lead. The other one, not as good. Maybe that's my theme, is a movie that I like.
Here's
followed
a good one,
by,
here's a bad one.
The Hollow, it's a random monster movie on Netflix. Three sisters that are having a rough day, chased by these nondescript monsters. It's one of those, if you just want a monster movie, it's there. But if you want something better, there's Hellions. But there's 31 movies we have to come up with, so I'm not going to love all of them.
You can't hit a home run every time. I guess werewolves are monsters, too. So my next two are werewolf movies, and in much the same way that A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is kind of a weird vampire movie. When Animals Dream from 2014, directed by Jonas Alexander Arnby, is a very weird werewolf movie. Is it a werewolf movie, or is it an allegory about that delicate time when a young girl matures into a young woman? The good news is it's both.
So it's like Ginger Snaps.
It's a little bit like Ginger Snaps, yes, except that is a werewolf movie, and it does take place with some adolescent girls. This one is really focused on her transformation into a woman, kind of going along with she feels like a monster inside, so maybe she's actually a monster. And I thought the lead, Sonia Shule, was great. Maybe a bit less straightforward than we're used to from werewolf movies. I mean, I like Ginger Snaps a lot. And throughout the whole movie, you're thinking, yeah, werewolf movie. This is cool. When Animals Dream, it's a little bit out there. Another one that I guess if you're thinking of adolescent vampires and maybe an allegory, you have 2005's Cursed. Another allegory, this time for the dangers of Team Sexton. If you could contract lycanthropy, I don't know if that's what it's actually called, but if you could contract werewolfism from having sex as a teenager, well, I'm here to tell you, I would not have been a teenage werewolf. You get to see some early Jesse Eisenberg and some relatively early Joshua Jackson as well. Both those guys are good. I enjoy me some Christina Ricci as much as the next guy. And Wes Craven's a pretty competent horror director. So, Cursed, it's a
This movie took so long to come out, and it could have used some extra time.
Judy, we couldn't have waited any more for Shannon Elizabeth. That was, like, her expiration
Judy
date.
Greer sliding under the, with the werewolf giving the middle finger. Just, I wanted so much from this movie. I got none of it. I'll go with a couple. These movies have a little bit more in common. Than they both take place in a police station, and they both feature strong female leads. And I really liked one of them, and the other one was okay. So let's start off with the one I really like. From 2014, it's Brian O'Malley's Let Us Pray. Features Liam Cunningham, who's probably on Game of Thrones. Pollyanna McIntosh, who was the size queen in Filth, the secretary that gets duped. Those are the main two. It leads to one of the coolest climaxes ever, just a dude wrapped in barbed wire with a shotgun. It's a slower burn, but when stuff starts picking up, it cranks it up. It's a cool movie. I don't know that the ending makes a lot of sense to me, but I enjoyed the trip up to that
point.
But if
you're a fan of barbed wire and shotguns...
Oh, it's awesome.
Boy, have we got a deal for you.
Yeah, it's just Let Us Pray. It's on Netflix. I think most of mine are. It's a slow burn. Small cast, maybe 8 people, takes place in a police station over the course of one night. Also, that could sum up the plot, too. Also from 2014, directed by Anthony DeBlasi, Last Shift. You have a rookie cop. Her first night on the job is the last night that the old police station is open as they've made the transition to the new police station. So she's basically just there to make sure nobody breaks into the police station on the last night that they have it running. And it doesn't go so well for her. There's some legitimate scares in there. There's some creepy creature effects. It's a supernatural movie, and it's one of those that builds up to a creepy climax. But really, it's worth a watch. Like, I like it more than the other ones that I didn't like as much that we've got to so far.
Of the ones that you don't love.
Of my number twos in this scenario, this is the best of the number twos.
Pick of the litter. My next two are picks of the litter from last year. We've talked about both of these movies already, but they're now both available on DVD. So if you haven't had a chance to see them from last year yet, certainly check them out. The first one was a zombie movie, much in the vein of Scout's Guide, but maybe even a little more over the top, and it was Cooties. Way more fun than I had anticipated from this one as well. Frodo is great as the lead.
The writer of Saw steals
yep,
the show.
Lee Whannell pretty much does steal every scene he's in, and you'll have that when
you write the movie.
Yes, when you have that kind of relationship with the writer. He wrote himself
Rainn Wilson.
Some good lines. Rainn Wilson absolutely kills this movie. He's like basically Dwight Schrute in a zombie apocalypse. Is what you get from this, and it's a lot of fun. Also, a lot of fun was a movie that I was really holding my breath about because I felt like the fate of the world literally hinged on Michael Dougherty's Krampus. I don't love his superhero stuff. X2, Superman Returns, and the aforementioned X-Flop from the summer, The Apocalypse. But I do love Trick or Treat and Krampus, and I was really glad to see that Trick or Treat wasn't just a lucky shot for him, and now, with Krampus, I certainly have another movie that I can put in a holiday rotation. I thought it was a really, really good story.
I think I texted you immediately after watching Krampus and just said, I want to do a Krampus episode.
Yeah.
I liked it that much.
Which we might do, I don't know, hell, in December.
Probably. I mean, why not? But I really liked Krampus. I had high expectations after Trick or Treat, and I was bummed that it took so long for a Trick or Treat follow-up to happen. But it was worth the wait. I thought it was fantastic. It's a great Christmas horror movie. I have two more. I actually like both of these. The first one is from 2016. It's written and directed by...
That's this year.
Yeah, by Jay Linder and Micah Wright. It's called They're Watching. Randomly came across it on Netflix. It's a... you take a camera crew from one of those remodel shows, those stupid shows where they remodel houses and stuff. They basically go back to visit a house out in the middle of nowhere with their host and with a new crew member. Weird things happen in the town along their visit. It's funny. It reminds me of Leslie Vernon, but I don't want to compare it to that because Leslie Vernon, I think, is a great, great movie. This is an enjoyable watch. It's funny. And then when it builds to its horror climax, it goes nuts. It might be even a couple levels crazier than Barbed Wire and Shotgun. It comes out of nowhere. Where it ends up going is nuts. It's just fun. It's goofy. It's not going to change your life, but it's worth a watch. That's They're Watching from 2016. From 2014, a movie called Honeymoon, directed by Lee Janiak, starring Rose Leslie, who you may know as the redheaded girl that liked Jon Snow on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Or that. And Harry Treadway. Just a couple go to a country house in the middle of nowhere, a lot like in They're Watching, and weird stuff starts happening. It's another one of those that it's not as funny, it's not as enjoyable of a watch, but it's pretty cool. Some cool stuff happens, and she's really good to see her showered and not covered in snow. Like, she was really, really good in it. She kind of carries the movie, so she's worth watching in it.
My next ones are horror remakes, and my first one also stars a fairly attractive ginger. And because this isn't the list to talk about Don't Breathe, I will talk about Fede Alvarez's 2013 Evil Dead remake. I think there's a lot of skepticism and perhaps even some disappointment when this came out. It wasn't Evil Dead 4. It didn't have Ash. And generally, horror remakes suck, but that's actually not the case here. I think based off the success of Don't Breathe, this is a good time to invite people to go back and take a look at this. And besides all the bitching you did about this not being Evil Dead 4, you have an Ash TV show, so there's no real reason not to give this a chance. It's a solid, solid movie, and if it was called anything else, I think it'd be a great movie. Sticking with the remakes and from directors that we like an awful lot, I'm going to take one of the Alexander Aja movies, but not necessarily the one you might be thinking of. I'm going to go with The Hills Have Eyes from 2006. We both, maybe specifically Dave, loves Aja. Certainly the podcast collectively, we like him a lot. And Piranha may have been the pick here, but as with my previous movie, I think that people have overlooked this as a remake. I think Aja has a knack for this genre, and his skills will be put to the ultimate test in this year's The Ninth Life of Louis Drax. If anyone can make Jamie Dornan interesting, it's Alexander Aja.
It's also Aaron Paul, isn't it?
Yeah, but I like Aaron Paul.
Yeah, and yeah. I'll watch it for Aaron Paul. Yeah. Jamie
if I
Dornan.
Can take a shot at Jamie Dornan, I will.
I'd rather be tied up and whipped than watch Jamie Dornan. He's actually really good on The Fall with Scully.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a show. It's a British TV show.
Yeah. That,
they're both really good, but I don't have any interest of them outside of that.
Fair enough.
So help me, Aja. You're our only hope.
Do you have interest in any other movies?
Yeah, Hush. I think we talked about.
Yeah.
It's a home invasion movie with a deaf lady and a really creepy... It's a singular home invasion. It's one dude. I think the tension's built up really good from the director of Oculus and Before I Wake and the Ouija prequel coming out. I like this movie over any of those three. I mean, Oculus wasn't bad. And then Monsters, Dark Continent, the sequel to Monsters, it's on Netflix now. It's a different movie. There's a little bit more action to it than the first Monsters. I loved the first Monsters. This is way different. It's like it's a war movie, essentially. But
it's like the Aliens to Alien, yes?
Yeah, but some of the battle scenes are Saving Private Ryan type level. Like, there's some intense like war stuff going on. It might be a stretch to call it a horror movie, but yeah, I mean, it's called Monsters.
So it fits.
You have two more?
As I was starting to kind of grasp for themes here, one of them that was relatively easy was, hey, I wonder what movies, horror movies came out the year I was born. And that would be 1984. So I decided I would do horror movies that weren't Nightmare on Elm Street. The original came out then. Friday the 13th, which I think was A New Beginning. Or Gremlins, which also came out in 1984. So I went with 1984's Night of the Comet. I've often stated how much I love my night flicks, Night of the Creeps and Night of the Comet, being the two of which I'm speaking. Both space zombie movies, kind of. I think in my head, they both take place in like the same universe. They're kind of flip sides of the same alien invasion coin. This one's a little bit less fun, but I think still enjoyable.
Have you rewatched it recently?
Yeah.
In my head, my memory of Night of the Comet is like, oh, it's this fun. It's these two girls in a mall and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I recorded it, and that's how I sold it to Aaron to rewatch it. It's not as fun.
Right.
It's not Night of the Creeps.
No, certainly not. But I like it. I mean,
it's
mostly
moments.
They're mostly
good.
Stuck in the radio station.
Yeah, I like it. It's still good, but it wasn't what I sold. I did a poor job marketing it.
Well, you and so did the actual marketers of that film. Also from 1984, it was kind of between this and Chud, and I went with The Creepy Kids, Children of the Corn. To this day, it's hard for me to see a cornfield and not think that there may be some Amish kids in there waiting to cut my ass up. No disrespect intended to our Amish listeners, but the sequels are all garbage to varying degrees. But I think Children of the Corn is, it's unique, it's super creepy, it's from 1984, and it stars Linda Hamilton.
For my last duo, my last set of two, probably of the movies I'm talking about, probably two of the ones I like the most. To keep them kind of categorized, I'll call these ones horror movies with
question
a question mark?
Mark
after horror. One is from 2015. Or actually, they're both from 2015. One is written and directed by Perry Blackshear. It's called They Look Like People. McLeod Andrews and Evan Dumichelle are the main two. Two old-time friends that randomly encounter each other. The one comes in from out of town and the other insists he stays with them. Not really knowing that he's having some mental issues going on at the time. He's taking phone calls nightly from the head of this race of aliens that are going to take over the planet, who is giving him tips for how to defeat them. So you have him hiding that part of his life. You have this other guy whose life is kind of falling apart. It's hard to sell without spoiling anything. It's a slow burn. Builds up to really maybe not exactly what you expect. But it's cool to see play out. Movies like this can go one way, and they generally go one way with a one type of ending. This one kind of goes a different direction, which was refreshing. It was nice. It reminded me a lot of a Primer, just in that where it's these two dudes talking mostly, and it's all sold from them. Like, it's a completely different movie. It's not time travel at all, but it's you're sucked into their world, and it feels so real. Like, it almost feels like you're just a third person hanging out with a camera. And it's got some cool moments, got some creepy moments. The one that I'll keep it as kind of my closer, even though I have one more, from 2015, directed by Karen Kusama, who's awesome to have her back on the scene. It's The Invitation, starring fake Tom Hardy and a bunch of other people. One of my favorite genres of movies is people meet at a dinner party, because it can go anywhere. If you can sum up a movie by just say, a bunch of people meet at a dinner party, and it's interesting to me, I'm into it. Something like Coherence from a couple years ago, this, that,
it's a disaster.
Stuff like that, because it can go so many places. And The Invitation, if you don't know anything about it, keep it that way. It is on Netflix. It's a very, very cool watch. Fake Tom Hardy is becoming one of my favorite actors. He's got a show coming on Cinemax that is going to make me order Cinemax. I'm a big fake Tom Hardy fan now. He's in Spider-Man. I'm really excited. And this is his movie. This is like Angry Max. Like, it's on his shoulders. But it's a really cool movie. I'll sum it up as it's a bunch of people go to a dinner party. And just watch it. It builds up to a cool climax, to a awesome final shot that I think is amazing. It's just a really, really, really cool movie that I don't have a problem lumping in with horror movies.
But for my last two, Dave's mentioned a couple Game of Thrones cast members, and I happen to like that show an awful lot. We got a movie from The Onion Knight and a movie from Ygritte, which aren't my two. I picked two other ones. There's actually a ton of movies that we could have picked. One that we both love, starring Lady Crane, The Babadook. That would be a movie starring a Game of Thrones
cast member. Who's in The Babadook that's in Game of Thrones?
The main lady.
What's she on Game of Thrones?
She's Lady Crane.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Queen Marjorie had The Forest from this year. Jon Snow and Ned Stark are both featured in the Silent Hill movies. Tywin Lannister's had a couple cool ones. He was in one of the Underworld movies, and he was in Alien 3. He was actually one of the highlights of that movie, and there weren't that many. But I went with The Black Death from 2010, starring Carice Van Houten, Melisandre, and Sean Bean, Ned Stark. I think that this movie is somewhere between witch cult kind of movie and Game of Thrones. You throw in Eddie Redmayne doing his damnedest to try and pull this plot along. The movie itself, I think, takes itself a little too seriously, but it's fun to see future Academy Award winner Eddie Redmayne in this.
This feels like a made-for-DVD movie.
It does.
Or almost like a bigger budget sci-fi movie. But, I mean, you have Sean Bean.
Right.
And you have two-time Academy Award nominee Eddie Redmayne. That's a nice pool.
There's some star power in that. And it had two people from Game of Thrones.
Sean Bean was in Game of Thrones at one point.
I've heard that, yes. My second movie is the only movie that I know of in America that stars Tormund Giantsbane, the redheaded wildling guy that you now see selling you hotels or something. He was in 2011's The Thing. We may never actually get to talk about this movie.
I don't want
to
talk about
despite
this
the fact that we both love John Carpenter's The Thing and have mutual admiration / attraction for Joel Edgerton and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I think in a vacuum, this movie probably isn't bad. Maybe not with a vacuum, maybe at least with a different title. I think it could be a decent horror movie. It just had a lot to live up to and certainly didn't live up to it. I think the ending is actually kind of cool. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is sort of your MacReady in this movie, and kind of how she determines that she's in some trouble there at the end, I thought was pretty slick. And I think that of the rest of the movies that I could have picked, I didn't want to do The Babadook because we've talked an awful lot about that. I kind of think The Thing, as bad as it is in comparison to the original, it's still a pretty decent horror movie, and I thought it was kind of the best of that bunch from Game of Thrones folks.
It's one that I probably should rewatch. Who from Game of Thrones was in this one?
One of the wildlings, okay. Yeah.
This is one of those that maybe suffered from 28 Weeks Later syndrome, where I'm not an anti-remake guy. I'm not, but...
And this isn't really a remake.
Call it a prequel all you want. It's a damn remake. But to take the one of the best things... And I'm not always the practical versus CGI guy, right. But... In this one, where like one of the stars of the movie was the practical effects, and you're just going to go all digital now. I love Edgerton. I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who she's on Fargo season 3, which I'm excited about. She starred in a random show on CBS this summer called Brain Dead, which is about ants or bugs eating politicians' brain.
I think it's these space slugs from Night of the Creeps.
Yeah, and 10 Cloverfield Lane this year. Like I love her. I've loved to see where her career has gone. She's awesome. I'm a big fan of her. So I have one left. I had a couple left on my list, but we'll leave it to one of the ultimate horror movies that I don't really think is always talked about as a horror movie, but it is credited with being the first blockbuster. Jaws is now on Netflix, along with all of its sequels. Why not just watch Jaws? Yeah, it's not summer anymore, but it's Halloween. It's a great horror movie. It's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. There was a great Jaws joke in the Ghostbusters remake this summer. Unrelated, but I'll close it off with that because the other movie I have that I'm leaving off is stupid and was only on there because of
its Jaws 3D.
Ridiculous. Oh, I wait. Or Jaws. I'll take Jaws 3D over Jaws the Revenge any day of the week. So Jaws, that, if our math is correct, puts us at 31.
It might not be.
So... if you're keeping score at home, keep it to yourself. But we aren't smart enough to count along as we go. Just in case we are, did you have any we didn't get to?
Nothing that I'm real sad I didn't get to mention. That's basically me code for saying I closed out my doc.
Okay.
Unless you want me to talk about Italian horror movies from the Bava twin, the father and son, Mario and Lamberto.
I had John Dies at the End from a couple years ago just because it showed up on Netflix and we didn't have it on the list last year. And then this movie called Rites of Spring, because if you want the stupidest, most convoluted plot ever, like, I could try to explain the plot, and at a point you would think I'm making it up, because it's this guy has a shady business deal. His daughter gets kidnapped by the guy who got fired, and then it turns out the girl he got fired for escapes from a farm, like, up the road from where they break down at, and she's being chased by a monster, and it turns out the daughter was in on the kidnapping the whole time. It's ridiculous. Like, it's stupidly insane, and it's a monster movie. So if you want a stupid, stupid movie with a ridiculous plot, check out Rites of Spring. But
or watch Jaws.
Yeah, or watch Jaws. I was going to close with one or the other. But yeah, that was our 31 movies to watch, our 31-ish movies to watch for Halloween. Let us know. Give us suggestions. I know we're always looking for cool suggestions to watch for horror movies. And hang with us for October. We got a bunch of cool episodes coming up. We come back later this week with Nightbreed. And then we got some Vampire, some Peter Jackson, some Saw. So hang with us this month. It'll be a lot of fun. And happy Halloween. Until later this week.
Keep it up.